going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 3 September 2025. It is Wednesday night, and of course, tomorrow being Thursday. Hopefully, we'll be in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern to take your phone calls. I love talking to you. I already do. And if you get busy, I don't mean to be rude. Please don't take it that way. So I want to say hi to all of you. For whatever reason, if you just want to call and say hello and talk to us a little bit, share things, ask questions, whatever I can do to make you feel better and glorify our Father in heaven, let me help you do it, okay? I mean that. You want to place an order or give donation, that's always welcome. Our bills just don't quit coming, just like yours don't. Every month they come in. People want paid for airtime. They want paid for postage. They want paid for phone calls. They always want that. I don't understand it. But anyway, be in the office tomorrow, take your phone call, of course, like I said, and let you place the order if you want to for the our specials of the month. A fantastic deal. One of our last seminars we did several years ago, Broken Era. Folks, you just have to get it to understand what's talking about, what's all about. The sermon I did entitled Broken Era was a cry for deliverance, just like it was in Vietnam. It's available. It's about a 6 or 7 hour DVD with different speakers on it. An offer in the book, the book entitled To Deceive the Elect, The Rapture, Fact or Fiction by Lieutenant Colonel Gordon Moore, retired. Both of those together, folks, are $15. No, we're not making hard anything on, but we're wanting to, of course, raise some funds. But give you a thank you for it also. So please, if you can, call tomorrow at 800-777-4403. And if you have long distance, please call our toll line, 304-846-4448. Don't forget, we're going to have Bible study this coming weekend. I think you're going to enjoy everything going on. We'll be joined again as a guest from Diana Ketterman. She started attending her functions with us, and she's always a blessing to have there. She'll be teaching sometime again in the very near future. She'll be on next Tuesday night to discuss AI. She's well-versed in AI and the demonic activity behind that. But come and join us in Bible study. You can go to PastorButch.com and click on Rumble, and there will be live at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. The first half hour is always dedicated to prayer requests and praise reports. And I hope you'll call and share a prayer request with us and maybe a praise report. 11:30 a.m., we go into Christian Worldview News. But, folks, it's prophecy as it happens. That's my job as a pastor and my calling, to expose what's happening in the world according to Scripture. And that's what I try to do. 1 o'clock, we're going to Bible study. We're going to teach about Christian examples, which are very scarce today, according to what the Bible says we ought to be anyway. Come and join us. If you can't do it online, dial us at 339-209-5013. 339 209-5013. And please forgive us. We still don't have a phone lineup or any take phone calls tonight except for a guest. Folks, when technology goes down, it messes up. And Todd's having a world of problems right now. Keep everything running. So say a little prayer for Todd. He's about the best producer I ever worked with. And I mean that. He's professional. He's thorough. And he's polite. For Yankee, he's okay. So anyway, please pray for Todd that he'll be able to get this thing all worked through and get it back to normal as soon as possible. Our guest tonight is someone I happen to find online talking about what he does as a delegate for the state of West Virginia. Now, I know you say, well, it's just a small office in a small state and doesn't affect me nationwide or worldwide especially. But, folks, it really does. Stop and think about this. A little pebble thrown into a big pond makes ripples all over the pond. With what Chris is trying to do in West Virginia, and we get done here, just like it was in Florida when they did away with all vaccination mandates in Florida. We're working on that right here in the West Virginia. Will that affect you? Of course it will. And Delegate Chris is working on doing away with property taxes, which is the most unfair tax in the country, and a lot more than that. So, yes, it does affect all of us. It does. What happens in Texas affects me in the long run because other states see what's happening. Now, some states, I understand, are so far gone, like Illinois and California and some others, that there's no hope for their return. There just isn't. And the people out there don't seem to mind too much. They still hang in there. I don't know what for, but they do. But there are some states that are wanting to see a difference and a change. We're going to discuss a lot of things tonight, including Trump's tyrannical mud notion of putting federal troops on the streets everywhere. And we're going to discuss that in detail in a little bit. But let's bring our guest up. Let's bring up Delegate Chris Anders. Chris, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. Good evening, Pastor Butch. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good, Chris. It's good to have you and good to get to know you the last couple of months.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I did not know that you had a Yankee for a producer, however. That's something I learned tonight.
Yeah. That's Todd from up in Pennsylvania. But he's a pretty good guy. I don't think he'll shoot at you or nothing. So.
Okay, well, we won't hold that against him. How's that?
No, he talks a little funny sometimes, but I'm trying to learn him.
Yeah, sometimes they talk a little fast, you know.
So anyway, welcome to the program tonight. It's so good to have you, Chris. I mean that, and I know what I just said is a way of introduction. Is a lot of people think, well, he's a delegate from West Virginia, little podunk nowhere state, and I guess in a lot of areas that's probably true. We're about the poorest state in the country. We only have about 1.5 million people in the whole state. But right now, and I do look at this, we're about one of the freest states left in the country. I mean, where we live here, I live here in Eddy, Nicholas County, out in the middle of the woods. I don't need a permit to carry a gun in my pocket or on my hip. Makes no difference. I don't need zoning to cut zoning down to put an addition to my house. I can ride a side by side on the highway, no problem. So there's a lot of things we do here that a lot of people take for granted. I don't take for granted because they don't have it in many places. And it's
that's
amazing.
Correct.
And the mindset of a lot of people in this state, I carry a gun, Chris, everywhere I go, normally on my hip. And I want people to see it. I mean, I want to see it for a couple of reasons. First off, I want to see that I can do that and I will do that. But also as a warning to anybody who thinks they might want to do something, I want them to see other people besides me in that place packing. So they might change their mind before they decide to start shooting somebody. We see that happening all the time, even in churches now that's going on. So pastors and Christians, especially Christians, should pack for the safety of everybody around them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I carry everywhere I go because the God-given right to life and liberty and your personal property also means the ability and the tools to protect your life, liberty, and your property.
And look up this way. It's more than a right. It's a duty, according to the Scripture. It's a duty. In Numbers chapter 1, he gave his people instructions to arm themselves, to defend themselves, their families, their tribes, and their, which we would call states, and their nation. And he didn't say, I'm going to give you a right through the king to do that. He said, you arm yourselves. Our duty comes from God, and we need to obey that. I appreciate that we say we have a right. That's well and good, but a right can be exercised or ignored. A duty from God for Christians should never be ignored. So that's the way I look at it.
That makes absolute sense, sir.
Go ahead. I want you to share, because we got a lot to talk about, plenty of time. What are you seeing? Let's just start with the little old state here. What's going on that you want to fix? What concerns you?
Well, there's a lot of issues in West Virginia, but to lead in with something that you said, politics never happens in a vacuum. What happens in Texas will impact what happens in West Virginia, and what happens in West Virginia will impact what happens in Georgia, because nothing ever happens in a vacuum. And, you know, I've worked personally in politics for two decades now, mostly through legislative work or grassroots activism. Just recently, last year, ran for office and won. So now I'm officially in office, pushing forward bills to restore people's liberty, because while we're fairly free in West Virginia, we're not as free as God intended us to be.
Right.
In other words, while we have the right to bear arms, which is a natural God-given right or duty, as you put it, we are still paying essentially rent to the government to keep the property that we paid for through our labor, through the sweat of our brow. We still have these draconian, tyrannical vaccination laws for our school kids. You have things like happening with the moral, eminent domain fight, where a power company wants to send a power line through West Virginia and is using the force of government through eminent domain to take people's property away so a private company can increase its bottom line. And by the way, help Virginia, does nothing for West Virginia. I mean, there are so many issues, that are out there, whether it's our right to privacy under the Fourth Amendment. If you go anywhere anymore, there's cameras everywhere. And what we're seeing in West Virginia and so many other states around the country is that they're connecting these together in what's called into the flock system, and they're using facial recognition programs to track you everywhere you go on a 28-hour rotating basis. So while, we claim to have a Fourth Amendment right to privacy, government's tromping all over it. And this is one thing that I've tried to stop with the Fourth Amendment Restoration Act. We've gone so far from what the Founding Fathers saw our republic to be. You know, it's almost mind-blowing to some people that we want to restore these freedoms and liberties, because they've become, used to being boiled, I guess, like a frog in a pot of hot water. They're used to their liberty being taken away. I know I just got back from Scotland, and my wife and I went over there because my family was from Scotland originally in the 1700s. And you realize in Scotland, you can't even carry a pocket knife with more than a 2.5-inch blade?
That doesn't surprise me. That surprised me.
Yeah. Well, it's sad, and it's really ironic, because my family fought in the 1745 uprising, Body Prince Charlie and all that. And what happened is, after the uprising, the British took all the Scots that were fierce and independent and deported them. My ancestors were deported initially to Barbados, and I can only imagine being a person from Scotland where the high is in the 60s to end up in Barbados at 100 degrees. It's no wonder he ended up in Virginia a couple weeks later. But they deported all the Scots who were actually freedom fighters, and that's why then you saw a couple years later here at the American Revolution, nearly a third, if not almost a half, of the Continental Army were made up of Scots or Scots-Irish, and you saw a lot of that in the Civil War. But sadly, seeing Scotland and the people in the position that they are now, just the thought that they could own a handgun is almost mind-blowing to them, and that's the last thing we want to happen here.
That's very true. And it's really sad, but that is true. And it's getting that way in a lot of places, and they're doing their best to get it here.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, whether it's, and it's funny, they sneak this stuff in, like the whole red flag gun confiscation that they buried in that wonderfully named bill called the Safer Communities Act,
yes.
Or even red states like Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, they're all taking money from this federal red flag fund. Sooner or later, the federal government, because you never have one administration longer than at most 8 years, right? Sooner or later, somebody else is going to be in charge there, and, you know, with federal dollars come federal strings. So one of the things I'm working with other legislators around the country is to get the states to return or not take these red flag dollars from the Safer Communities Act, because we don't want to see them then pulled into some unconstitutional gun-grabbing scheme.
Well, now, I know you've been involved now. You say you were elected last year, you said?
Yes, sir, last year.
So you're, I guess you call yourself a freshman or something. I mean, you're just getting started, right?
Well, I'm just getting started. I did work on two presidential campaigns previously, several U.S. Senate campaigns, and I led some nonprofits and political action committees, mostly around always liberty, always freedom, a lot on the Second Amendment, a lot on, you know, eliminating taxes. So I have a lot of experience in politics, but I don't, you know, as far as being elected, yes, I am a freshman, but it's funny, you know, when you're elected the first time, you know, the way you're treated at the state house, because they all want to take you in and put their arms around you and say, okay, buddy, I know you said a lot of things on the campaign trail, but listen, that's not the way we act down here. And I think I stunned a lot of people because I acted exactly how I did on the campaign trail. So,
you can't have that now. Come on.
I know. You can't make promises and then keep them. Apparently that's wrong in the halls of the different state legislatures and Congress. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, I've sadly seen this far too often. You know, people get elected and the next goal is to stay elected, not to do anything that, you know, they said they do, but just to keep their almighty throne, I guess.
Sure, exactly.
You know, and what I found out is when you go down there and you start fighting for what you said you were going to fight, suddenly you realize your enemies aren't always the other party. It really is the good old boy system and the entrenchment, because at times there is a uniparty alliance to rip away our rights.
Well, let me ask you this. What you've been here, we'll say a year now. How many times have you been shocked by the attitude and the blatant arrogance of the people that you work with?
Shocked by their activities? Not really. I will tell you this, however. When you're on the inside compared to being an outside activist, you see a lot that's going on. You see the amount of drinking that's happening. For one instance, there's a tremendous amount of alcohol abuse. I don't think that would surprise anybody. And the egos always just blow your mind. The fact that, you know, we're supposed to be public servants. It's our duty to uphold the Constitution and fight for the people. But instead, they treat their constituents lesser than their ego, let's just say. Because, you know, politicians are very much like Macbeth. We've all read Shakespeare and Macbeth's ambition, and they all think they're going to be president one day, bless their hearts. and so they act like it. Sometimes they treat the staff badly. The egos shock me, but not what they were doing, because having seen this happen so many times, I've worked in probably 22 or 23 states now, whether it's fighting for constitutional carry or life at conception or ending vaccine mandates or eliminating taxes. I've seen it all around the country. And the thing that really people need to grasp is, And a lot of states like West Virginia or Texas or Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, Georgia, states that people consider deep red states, you might have 60 or 70, or in a case of West Virginia, 91 so-called Republicans elected. But just because they run as a Republican doesn't mean they legislate like one.
You have
people call them lovingly rhinos. I call them undocumented Democrats. They run as Republicans because that's the only way to win an election. But when they get down to the Capitol or up to the Capitol or wherever they're going, they start acting and casting votes like Democrats because, sadly, and this is true and something we need to change, is that people watch CNN, they watch Fox News, they watch what's happening on the national stage, but what really matters to how people live their life every day is what's happening at the state level. And these politicians get away by going to the Capitol, voting one way, coming back for their reelection, claiming to be something completely different. And oh my, and you know, that's one thing that I prided myself in, as a grassroots activist, I'd hold them accountable and expose their voting record. And they thought, the things I was called, you know, would make a sailor blush someday because I actually held up for public view their voting record. And they really hate that. So the more people pay attention to what they actually are doing at the state capitol and how they're actually voting, the better off we'll all be.
Well, what would you say percentage of, now I only just ask it plain out, the percentage of hypocrites there are in the state capitol?
Oh, hypocrites in general? Well, that would be a high number.
I mean those that... Those that
50%,
promise
50 to 60.
That absolutely 50 to 60% lie through their teeth, so mm-hmm. to speak. And they claim to be moral individuals, pro-life, anti-murder is a better way, and anti-homosexual, sodomite, transgender. But they waver when they get down there.
Oh, absolutely, because they don't want to make voters mad. Because if they take a strong stance, they will make a group of voters mad. And the thing that politicians fear the most is large numbers of angry voters. But, the left is very good at scaring Republicans into voting wrong. What we fail as Republicans is holding elected Republicans accountable to their oath of office and their duty and their campaign promises, because sometimes we're just too nice. Right?
Yes.
That's not something I've been found guilty of recently. I put the truth out there and let the chips fall where they may. I know as an activist, I have about 6 to 8 deer heads on my wall. My wife shot a buffalo out in South Dakota. We have that. And then in my office, I have about 38 faces.
That's good eating, too. That's good eating.
Oh, that's a lot of eating, because if you think about it, how much meat are you eating in a year if you shoot a buffalo?
Exactly.
That's a lot. It was about 700 pounds. But, you know, one that I'm most proud of was the wall in my office that I have 38 politician faces, and the date I took them out of office because they betrayed their oath of office and the people that elected them. And to me, that means a little bit more.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I've been in this game a while. I'm not directly involved in politics like you've been, but I tried, and with along with some other friends, many, many years to go through the, the ranks, trying to get something done in Charleston and even locally, but especially in Charleston. And I become very frustrated, and after a while, discouraged at the fact that they'll lie to you right to your face, and they will do that. You know, and.
Yeah.
And you think you're gaining ground, but when it comes right at the end of it, you're back where you started from. And I will have to say this about Manchin, Governor Manchin at the time. I will not do a digital picture for a driver's license, which means a number in my face, which goes on the Interpol, eventually. As you said, we're tracked and traced everywhere by our driver's license, by our pictures now, by everything else. I will not do that voluntarily. And we went through the governor before him, and I can't remember his name right now. He wasn't much. Then one after him was even worse. But anyway, Manchin did finally, after about three or four trips to Charleston, he finally met with me personally, and a very dear friend of mine who is a producer for the ministry here in West Virginia. We met with him personally. I explained to him why I can't do it because of Christian values. And so help me. He looked over. He had got a guy working named Jimmy. So Jimmy fixed this for the people. And they did. They actually took care of the problem. I fought that for, I didn't have a driver's license for 10 or 11 years. I drove without a driver's license. I even got a speeding ticket without a driver's license. Never had any problem because they all knew who it was. It's all the paper. They laughed at me and mocked me and made all kinds of fun of me. But people now, they're on the inside, realize I was telling the truth. Their driver's license is a tool of control now. That's all it ever had been. It's gotten much worse.
It has. And, you know, what's interesting is if you ever leave the country and you come back in, they immediately assume you're going to let them scan your face. I went on a cruise in June and then to Scotland just this past month in August. When you land and go through customs or your ship docks and you go through customs, like, oh, line up, we're going to scan your face. And 99.9% of people just let it happen.
Sure.
However, what they don't realize is you can say no. And both times I said no, and they have to let me in. They don't have a right to scan your face upon reentering the country, but they'd like to because they're building a huge database of all of us, just like, you know, fingerprinting, you know, the same thing. There were multiple bills down at the State House that I ended up voting. I was the one dissenting vote, like 99-1. It happened quite a few times. But, you know, a couple cases that really stood out to me was they wanted to do background checks. Everybody that's doing home health care or background checks on everybody that was doing, you know, child care or something like that. And I kind of understand a little bit of that. But then in the bill, they were turning over all the information, including their fingerprints, to the FBI. And there's no way on this planet I would vote for a bill that would turn over people's information to the FBI without a warrant. It just doesn't happen.
Good for you. Good for you. And to show you how tracked and monitored we are, my wife and I took a vacation down Tennessee here a month or so ago. We were leaving town. We stopped at a Cracker Barrel before we went. Before it went liberal, of course, you come back, thank God. We stopped and got breakfast.
that was quick, wasn't it?
That was a battle, yes. We stopped and got breakfast on the way out. And I always pay cash. I don't use credit cards. I pay cash. If I can't pay cash, I won't go. Well, I'll tell you after the break what happened. It really stunned me, folks. We got the break, and I'm sorry I can't take phone calls. But a lot more to talk about and get a lot more serious situations, so don't y'all go away.
On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775, or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Nettie, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Nettie, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
And folks, this is war. And thank God we got some warriors actually involved in civil authority. We're talking one right now. His name is Chris Sanders. He's from right here in West Virginia, a delegate up in the Eastern Panhandle. And he's doing his best to make a difference. And if we ring the bell, just like Florida did today, we're doing away with the vaccine mandates. If we ring the bell loud enough, they'll hear us cross country. Remember that. But I was talking about coming out of Tennessee. We stopped and got breakfast on the way out. And I said, I always pay cash. I don't like credit cards. Credit cards are, to me, a very need-to thing for me to use them. I pay cash. I'm getting ready to do an update on one of our bathrooms, and I pay guy cash half down. And they were stunned. They found out they couldn't take cash. They couldn't print a receipt for it. So he's going to have to use his own credit card to do it. But anyway, folks, that's where we are today. That's where we are. But nonetheless, I got home, and this is the truth. I got home on my email, mind you, I started getting advertisements for Cracker Barrel. I thought, how did they know? Then one of the gentlemen at the church said, did you have your cell phone with you? Didn't even dawn on me. Yes, I did. And they tracked me into the restaurant. All the way back home by the cell phone, were sending me ads to come back to the restaurant. Now, folks, that's exactly how tracked we are. That thing you call a cell phone is a tracking device disguised as a phone and a computer, and it literally knows everything you say. Oh, yes, it does. Even if you turn it off, it still hears you. You have to take the battery out to stop it. It goes everywhere you go, it tracks you, traces you, monitors you. You have no privacy. You get gas tomorrow at a local service station. They'll be able to tell where you went to get gas, probably how much you spent. All that because it's convenient. We've sold our nation's soul for convenience. They start with Social Security numbers, and went from there. We've done it because we trust in man instead of God, and now we're paying for it with slavery. I didn't mean to get started on soapbox here, Chris, but I get a little wound up about this because I see it happening. I've been in this country and this world quite a while now. I've been preaching about 50 years. And I've talked this for many, many years. Most folks ignored me. Some are getting their eyes open now. But we've sold ourselves into slavery, have we not?
Well, You know, a lot of people have given up, you know, their liberty and their freedom for government largesse. So I wouldn't say necessarily we sold ourselves into slavery, but we have given up a tremendous amount of the freedom and liberties that God gave us just for ease and comfort. You know, it's funny, you're talking about the cell phone tracing. How do you think they arrested so many people with the January 6th mess down in D.C.? Yeah, they traced them, you know, by who was down there and their cell phones. And they can literally, and then I've been fighting for a very long time against the NSA, against the so-called Patriot Act, which really should have been called the Destruction of the Fourth Amendment Act, where the government can, without a warrant issued by a judge, this is something we fought a revolution over, track everything you do. Everybody you talk to, get all this metadata. It's highly illegal. I remember when the Snowden case came up. In fact, I was actually on a conference call at one point with Edward Snowden. And we were fighting, you know, trying to expose what the NSA is actually doing. But, of course, then they let the Patriot Act go away and they replaced it with the so-called Freedom Act, which, again, another good sounding, which actually codified bulk data collection on American citizens without a warrant. You know, we've given up so much of the liberty. If you think about the soldiers that were freezing at Valley Forge or marching barefoot in the snow to Trenton, do you think for 1 minute they would have fought so hard and given so many sacrifices, including their lives, so that we could just sit back and let our freedom be destroyed? I think not. They would have probably put their muskets down and went home. And that's, you know, one of my overriding principles. I'm a member of the Sons of the American Revolution. I had ancestors who fought both in the Revolution, during the Civil War, they literally sacrificed everything they had and everything they ever would have for us just to let politicians strip away these rights. We have to stop that.
Well, but just think of all the benefits you're getting out of that. Gee whiz, we're giving up rights, but, you know, we're giving up responsibilities because we're getting free stuff. But I will say this, every time you give up a duty, a responsibility, you give up liberty. Every time you do that. Every time you do that. Oh, it's just the way it is.
Absolutely.
It happens that way. You know, and I wish people see that, but they don't.
Everybody wants individual liberty. They want to be free to make whatever decisions they want, but they don't want to take the personal responsibility of those decisions. You know, liberty cannot come without personal responsibility. If you make a bad choice, you have to pay for it. You don't fall back on society and go, well, oops, I made a boo-boo here. I now need your tax dollars taken from you by force to help me out of this bad situation I've put myself in. Individual liberty means personal responsibility of that liberty and of yourself. And too many people want to be free, but free from responsibility, too.
That's exactly right.
And you
cannot be a ward of the state and be a free man. That's just that easy.
It's absolutely that simple. I mean, our founding fathers rebelled against individual taxation, and we went for a very long time in this country without direct taxes on the people up until around, 1913, which was, by the way, a really horrible year, I'm sure you know. When they finally implemented the personal income tax, the only reason they did that was to give any value to these new fake dollars they've been turning out when they created the Federal Reserve and took us off the gold standard.
That's right.
And now we're all paying the inflation tax, and everybody wants to blame the increase in prices on China or Russia or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, the reason why prices on virtually everything is going up is because we've unconstitutionally allowed a private banking cartel to issue our currency, and they're printing money out of thin air. The more you print, the less it's worth. And we saw that during the Great Fairdemic with the COVID fiasco, where they printed out all these checks to send to everybody, and now prices are through the roof. Wages aren't keeping up because they never can. I remember in the reading about the Weimar Republic in Germany, where they were paying people three times a day trying to keep up with inflation, right? Wages never keep up with the inflation, so now we're all paying the inflation tax, and it is just a tax on government spending. Because, yes, we're taxed way too much. You know, we are taxed on our incomes. We are taxed on the, well, in Berkeley County, they're taxing us on the rain that falls on our property. They you have a dog tax when you have to go out and get tags for your dog. You have a sales tax. You have property tax. They tax. Dude, we pay about a third of, if not more, of our, you know, gross income to government. But what people aren't factoring into that is also the inflation tax. So if you really look, you know, to live the same lifestyle today that you did in 2018, you have to have like 50% more income. So the more they print, the more the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, because the rich get the money first when it's worth more. And, you know, this is a dangerous thing to get me started on the Federal Reserve and fiat fractional currency. But, you know, the Constitution said money should only be gold and silver. So
that's what the Bible says, too, by the way. What the Bible says also. But anyway, you mentioned inflation. That's another reason why I want to see new way property taxes. Inflation causes property values to go up. Taxes go up, but our earnings don't go up to match it. And it's robbing people blind. It's wrong.
Well, you have people on fixed incomes. You know, a lot of people, like our senior citizens, are on fixed incomes, and they're being taxed out of homes they've lived in for 50, 60 years.
And that's really happening. That's really happening.
Yes. It's theft. And you know, the fact that somebody could live all their life in a house, but because they can't afford to pay the increased property taxes because of this inflation tax, to take their property away, is just the most immoral thing. Not the most immoral thing, but one of the most immoral things government can do.
Well, it is. It's a sacred. It's sacred. They're violating somebody's sacred home. A home is a sacred place. You have every right and duty in the world to protect it. But the situation is that the state takes it. They assume it's their property. In order to tax something, you have to assume it's yours. That's what tax is all about. It's like your incomes. They assume it's theirs, so they tax their, they get their cut first. It's not theirs. Now, people don't know enough to fight it. It's like property taxes. They just learn to live with it. But when someone cannot pay their home, they pay their taxes, they lose their home, I don't care who it is, for whatever reason, it's absolutely a attack on something sacred, and it's totally wrong. And the people, if anything in the world the people should have stood up against and fought for, literally fought for, was the murder of babies and stealing our property. Those are two sacred things that we give up because we're, and I'm saying kindly, either too naive, too ignorant, or too stupid, too lazy, too apathetic to stand up. I'm not afraid to speak up. That's why I don't have many people come to our Bible studies. I'm going to tell them the truth. We trusted man, Jeremiah 17:5, and God said, cursed be the man who puts his trust in man. We trusted man, we cursed ourselves. That isn't the bad part. We cursed our children and grandchildren also.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny you bring up, you know, the murder of the unborn. One of my major efforts this past legislative session is, as you know, Virginia is a life-to-conception state, right?
Right.
But anybody in the state, 14 years or older, can go on their phone and order in these baby-killing pills from out of state. In fact, they're saying that about 70% of abortions now, you know, the murder of the unborn, is now happening at home.
And you said, these pills shipped to them. You said 14 years old?
14 years old. And so I put in a bill to outlaw the abortion pill trafficking into West Virginia, to make it a crime, and to also have large civil penalties. Because, you know, why we say we are a life at conception state, anybody can get these pills shipped in. Well, I couldn't even get leadership to even allow a vote. While they all claim to be Republican conservatives, they refuse to even allow a vote on that bill. So I did what I do, which is pulled a procedural motion called a discharge motion, which is a procedural motion to force a vote on the bill, to pull it out of committee and to bring it to the floor to be voted on. So I pulled a discharge motion, and sadly, I think the count was 22 or 23 representatives stood with me. They knew that I was trying to stop these abortion baby-killing pills coming into the state, and out of 100, 22 or 23 stood strong for that. So, but don't worry, that fight's not over, because what we're finding now, and what's really upsetting a lot of people, is if you have this large number of abortions happening at home, you end up with all of that in public water systems. And the public water systems are not set up to filter out that. So we are finding concentrations of the abortion drug that's actually in city water now, and what was left over from the abortion. So you could even say people are drinking the DNA of babies that were murdered. So I think we're going to, you know, we have to stop this. It's the right moral thing to do. But I think the more that comes out, the more public opinion will be on our side and we'll get this done.
Well, I'm amazed, and I really am amazed, that the ones who wouldn't stand with you on that are too cowardly to face their so-called constituents for trying to stop this. I mean, I would like to think that 80% of the people in this country, in this state, 80% of them, 75% anyway, would be in favor of stopping that. Am I wrong on that?
You would think, but again, people have to pay attention to what their elected state representatives are doing and understanding what the vote was all about, because they will try to excuse it. Oh, it was just a procedure vote. It wasn't a vote on the bill. Well, I'm sorry, if you don't bring the bill out of committee to the floor, the bill is dead, right? So voting against bringing it to the floor is killing the bill. And we had, you know, I did that on that bill. We fought to eliminate, you know, all vaccine mandates in West Virginia. I fought to eliminate certificate of need. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that is a government-created monopoly on who can practice medicine in certain areas. Like if you want to open up a hospital in a county, you have to get your competitive hospital that's already there to tell you it's okay. It's the most ridiculous. It's like if McDonald's wants to open up across the street for Burger King, they have to get Burger King's permission. It's the most, you know, insane thing, but it's called certificate of need. And I also discharged that one and forced a vote on the floor. We need more people willing to stand up and fight, and more people getting involved and holding their politicians accountable, because freedom's shrinking every single day.
That's very true. It is very quickly. We're going to run out of time. We've got about 9 minutes left. And another thing I want to talk about, and I know this isn't popular in most places, we have people out there that are Trumpeteers, and I am, oh, how to put this? I like some of the things Trump has done. I like some of the things that Trump has done, but I don't like a lot of things he's doing, because they're unconstitutional and totally wrong. I'm not going to get into all the details, all of them. But to put federal troops on the streets, I don't care what the excuse is, in my mind, is an act of a violation of states' rights, which could and should lead to another civil war. Because if the states don't protect themselves and stop it by putting their state troops on the border, then they're failing their duties to the people. I know this sounds harsh, Chris, you may never talk to me again, but we cannot allow this. We cannot allow this.
No, the putting federal troops on the streets of America's cities is something that is absolutely forbidden by the United States Constitution. And I will agree with you on that. And yes, I did vote and support President Trump in 2020 and 2024. At the same time, just because I voted for somebody doesn't mean that I'm beholden to everything they do. In fact, people aren't beholden to politicians. Politicians are beholden to the people who voted for them. So whether it's, you know, putting troops on the streets or trying to hide the Epstein files, I know Thomas Massie very well. He's working very hard right now to force the same thing that I did at the state level. He's trying to force a discharge vote and the U.S. House to release the Epstein files, and they need to be released. I don't care whether, you know, it makes Republicans look bad or Democrats look bad. It has nothing to do with that. We need to stop playing the political game and do what's right. We need to expose this absolute horrible crimes that were being done to these poor children so people can be held accountable. And trying to turn it into a Republican versus Democrat game is just absolutely immoral. The right thing must be done.
I agree. I totally agree. And the right thing is not putting troops in. I know I'm not going to say it won't stop crime. But Ben Franklin said it best, and this is a paraphrase: to give up essential to give up essential liberty for temporary security, you don't deserve either. And I agree. We don't need that.
And we'll receive neither. Right.
And receive neither.
And we'll.
Yep. And if we do not take a stand and stop this, and I know we're maybe sometimes a minority on this, I am not by any means a liberal. I am a Christian and also a constitutionalist, trying to protect mm-hmm. the people's rights to do what they're doing. And we're losing every day because we're cowardly, we're afraid, or we can't do it ourselves, we need help. Why do you have the Second Amendment, partner? What's the idea of that? Go duck hunting? Come on now.
The Second Amendment was not for hunting.
No, it wasn't.
The founding fathers did not just come back from a deer hunting trip. You know?
But this is where you are today, though.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, people too often are okay if somebody from their chosen political party does something as compared to if the other side did it. For example, remember when the left was screaming about all the undeclared endless wars that Bush was putting, George W. Bush was pushing?
Yes, yes,
but
yes.
As soon as Obama gets elected, it's okay. Obama bombed more countries than Bush did.
Yes,
and yet
did.
The Democrats, the anti-war left, completely disappeared. Right? And if Joe Biden had put troops in our cities, the Republicans would be screaming about it, right?
Absolutely. People
fall for the party games too much. You know, people fall for these fake party games. They fall for it because they just want to beat the other side. What they realize is that, you know, when the boot is on your neck, it doesn't matter if it's a left or right boot. It's still there.
I agree. And Trump came in the office waving the American flag and a Christian flag, and he betrayed both of them. That will just tell it like it is. He said himself very clearly he's not a Christian, and that's certainly true. And he certainly is not guarding our Constitution by putting federal troops in the streets. This is all, folks, nonsense. And for people, I've had people that I really love and respect a lot of different ways saying that, well, he's doing a good job or doing the best he can. Well, that may be so. If that's the best thing to do when you get somebody else in there, ASAP, of course, I don't think his vice president being better. But we're seeing the thing now, folks, that we need people like Chris in office. And I'm asking this to keep this in mind. If we live in West Virginia, keep Chris Anders, A-N-D-E-R-S, name in mind. Now, he's maybe not in your district. If you're not Berkeley County, you're probably too far south and west, whatever, to be in his district. But keep him in mind. You're going to see this man coming on. If time goes on and God allows us to be here much longer, you're going to see this guy's name and getting moved around a little bit. And it ain't going to be liked by a lot of people because you won't compromise with him. You won't play the games. That's the kind of man we need. And, Chris, I want to thank you for taking the stand you do and what you're doing. I appreciate it. I know sometimes it's very frustrating. I'm surprised you haven't been threatened already a few times.
Well, you know, it's according to what you consider a threat. It is a lonely place. So, you know, sometimes you're laughed at. Sometimes you're yelled at. In my case, I'm yelled at a lot. but I know what my job is. My job is to defend, you know, the God-given liberties and rights of the people I represent, the people of West Virginia. And, you know, that's our duty. And I think Robert E. Lee said that duty is the foremost word in the English language.
That's right.
And maybe your Yankee producer hasn't heard that one yet. I had to put that in there. Oh, my. But, you know, we have a job. Our job is not to be popular. Our job is not to, you know, get elected and reelected and suddenly become rich because of our political activity. Our job is defending, you know, liberty, defending the Constitution, and truth. And too often, people, you know, truth is inconvenient for people. Well, the politicians will tell people what they need to, what they want to hear, rather than what they need to hear. And we need more people standing up and joining in the fight and fighting for our God-given freedom and our God-given rights. Because if not, you know, before long we could end up like Scotland is currently, and that's the last thing I want to see.
Well, a lot of states are going that way right now, like California and New York and others, and even Illinois. But, you know, and I told you the other day that I met Governor Morsi a few times in person. And I'll be quite honest, I wasn't too impressed with him. I wasn't. And since he got in office, I have to admit he's done some things I really applaud him for. But he's all for the troops in the streets, and that bothered me a lot. And I would tell him if I met him, but that's just the way it is. I like some of the things he's done, but I can't condone and with good conscience this part of it. But I'm not going to throw stones at him, because compared to most of them, he's a very decent governor.
He's done a pretty decent job. Yes, the troop thing I disagree with as well. However, he is the one person in the executive branch and the first governor we've ever had to fight to stop these forced vaccinations.
Yes,
and he's fought tooth and nail, and he's fighting very hard for that. He's fighting to reduce the size and scope of government. Nobody's perfect, but I will say he is doing a much better job than anybody who's been governor of West Virginia before.
I agree. For a long, long time, at least since I've been alive. We're down about the last about 30 seconds. Chris, very quickly, what do you want to say in closing?
I just want to say it's a real pleasure being here today. I want to appeal to the people to really pay attention to what your elected servants are actually doing, not what they're saying, not what they claim on their campaign trail. But everybody needs to get involved. We need to fight together. So many people sacrifice so much that we could be free today in America. We need to honor their sacrifices by doing everything we can to restore that freedom.
I agree. And now, don't forget to tell the governor I want to interview him when we get a chance, okay?
I will, sir.
And tell me, I won't agree with the thing he says, but we're going to stand together on some issues. I'd like for him to share those on the air with me.
Yep. And I will talk to the governor. Hopefully I'll see him this Sunday.
So, all right. I said hello.
I will, sir. And thank you so much again for having me on, and God bless.
Oh, you're welcome, my friend. God bless you. Folks, I know that's a local rep from our state. I realize that. But I want you to see we can make a difference. Florida made a difference today. Huge difference with their doing with the mandates for vaccinations. Let's join them with your state, my state. We love you. By the grace of God, I'll see you in the office tomorrow. So give us a call. Love to hear from you. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.